Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
I believe there are many people seated here tonight who God has sent this word to tonight. And my topic for tonight is trusting God's promises. I would like to have a mic on standby because I'm going to be asking a couple of questions. I want people to be able to share their own experience. Choir, thank you for now. I'd like to thank Pastor Mavis, a dear man of God, for this privilege to be doing this. It's been a while. I'm happy to be back home. Thank you, Pastor, sir. And of course, I bring greetings from Pastor Mavis to the entire PTCC family right here on site and online. So tonight, we'll be looking at trusting God's promises. I want to ask a question and then I want us to talk. I want us to have a conversation before I dive into what I want to talk about. So my question is, of course, I know this question is going to be yes. Has God ever made a promise to you? Whether you feel like you picked it from the word of God or God spoke to you specifically, or that promise for you was personalized, and then you struggle through a phase of your life just wondering, would this ever happen? Or having doubt, think that I'm not sure God will really answer this one. If you are here and you'd like to share, please. I want to have like 3-4 people who want to share their experience. What was it like for you? What are the questions in your heart? What was the struggle? What was that promise you found very difficult to even believe that? Me? No, this promise is not for me. It's not what God is talking to. No, I'm the least in my family. We are nobodies. I don't know if you have people like that who want to share. Can I see your hands if you want to share? All right, we are good. If you don't raise your hand, I'll call names. People have experiences. Okay, someone is raising a hand there. All right, please, the mic to that side. Okay, let's start. Thank you so much. So let's hear what they have to say about their own journey with trusting God's promises.
Okay, praise God. Okay, so I think this was 20. Sorry, I'm a bit. So I think this was 2020. I'll talk after.
All right, thank you.
Good evening, Ma.
Good evening.
Yeah, so I remember one promise that God made to me. This is something that has always been disturbing me, right? And he said, don't be bothered, I'm always with you. Don't be bothered, I'm always with you. And I mean, I get, right? But then this thought of Shadrach, you have to be great. You have to, you're the firstborn. You have to make it. This. I'm putting up strategies, plans, goals, everything. It's bothering me. But God will tell me, calm down. I'm with you. But it's like, no.
God doesn't understand, right?
Nothing like that.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. So I think it was 2022. Yeah, maybe 2022. So I think I had like a lot of issues with my phone, right? So one way or the other, okay, I think the first time it got stolen, right? I think I went to get something like food, so I wanted to pass the phone to my friend that was behind me, so I didn't look back, so I just passed it. When I thought back later and I said, give me my phone. Oh, I said, I was not the one that collected the phone. So that's how that one just went like that. Then I was inside the bus, the other one just went. Like, I just had a lot of experiences there. And, I had a lot of issues with it, right? And then God will always tell me, don't worry. I'll give you a very good one. 2020, I'll give you a very good one. He will use people to tell me that God said he's going to give you a very good phone. I'm like, where is now the, like, I just feel like phone should not even be part of it, that somebody should wait that long for. I mean, maybe any other thing like healing. Do you understand? So I think I waited like that. So, someone always tell me, you're always having issues with your phone. You're always having, like, it was a consistent issue like that. So someone was asking me a question some time ago about faith. And then I was saying that there are some things that we believe that God can do it, right? But you don't necessarily believe again that he will necessarily do it for you. You know that it's not hard for God though, but it has taken so long that you don't, like, you don't see yourself having it again. So I just like went off like that. From that year, just this year, right, at the beginning of this year, so someone just told me, oh, God told me to sow this phone to your life. And you know, I was already even trying to get some other ones by myself. I was already making effort. If I had gotten it, I would not get that one. And then after how many, I'm talking about years, you would have probably even bought 100 by yourself. But somehow it was just not possible for me to get it by myself. See, different things just had to come up that would keep taking maybe money from you or anything that would not be able to get it. And then just this year, somehow someone just brought it to me and says, oh, God told me to give this to you. So that's my experience.
Okay, thank you so much. Who else wants to share? Okay, we have a few hands. I don't know how many we can take, but okay, let's try this. I'm asking us to do this so that when I begin to share, you don't feel like, oh, let me God do something for. So you understand that other people have also been through this. All right, please go ahead.
Good evening, Ma. Good evening, everyone. Okay, I wrote my first wife 2017. So I was aiming to gain admission. So hopefully I was going to gain admission. I wrote first jam. It was going to be good. It was good. And then my home church, then my pastor said, oh, don't worry, you are brilliant now. At once, you are going to gain admission. So don't worry, God got you on that. It was evident I was going to go. But 2017, first jam. 2018, God, with Glushele. 2019, until 2021, I stayed at home for 4.5 years. I already gave up because even my parents already gave up on me and were like, just go and learn work. Go and learn Baba. So that you do something with your life. But I stayed. But at some point, I was so tired. I believed that, okay, let me just give up. Let me just learn what I want to learn. Although it happened that it was just one man, one person. And it was just in a minute that God used to revive that hope back. But left to me, I had given up that I was not going to go to school again. But here I am. Okay. Thank God.
Praise God. I don't know if we can take just two more. One on this side. Okay.
Good evening, Ma.
Good evening.
So, my challenge is starting from 2019. I came from a kind of rich home, but I'm from a polygamous home. So when my stepmom was maltreating me and all the stepmom stuff, my daddy told her that, don't worry, if this girl gain admission, she's going to be free from you. So my daddy has a lot that I know that I can rely on. So when I wrote my first jam, Lasso did not pick me. I went to do PDS in Lasso, under Lasso. So I got admission into Lasso 2019. So immediately I wanted to resume school. My daddy lost his job. So then I was not like, how am I going to do it? A new student, how am I going to get apartment, do everything I do? So anytime I want to ask my daddy for, daddy, my dad will shout at me that don't you know the current situation. So I don't know how God did it. From Monday 11, I was jam-packing, staying from friend's place to another, seeing, I don't know. So 20 days of glory, which was last year, I was praying for God. God, just help me. You know, I've been doing this thing alone and everything. So connections from my whole family, like people that I don't even know, started chatting me up. In fact, they had to chat me through someone on Facebook to get to me. So from then, after that time, my life kind of changed. Then from there, after my life changed again, my daddy fell sick. And this year, May 30th, I lost him. So another problem, I was like, God, what is it? But I don't know, from that day that my daddy died, I don't say that I'm happy because he died though, but God has just opened different doors. So they say that if I want to do something, I will have assurance that this thing I go do, and this thing will happen.
Praise God.
Good evening, church. I wanted to keep this down, but I don't have to keep it. I want to share it. It started back then. I can say that you can make money genuinely. I came from a poor home, you know. We find it difficult to pay bills and all that. And my mom was doing her best very, very well. So we got into admission, me and my brother. It was very rough. My mom died when I was in 300 level. Me and my brother was still in university then. So we started hustling. despite those moments in university, we have friends around us who have people telling us, do this, you can get money. But me and my brother would be like cat and rat. If I did work, I didn't work out with me. We did follow ourselves wherever. So he tell me, say, bro, me we do things, me we feel they get the money, they support ourselves. I go tell him, I say, bro, chill. We can make money from hustling inside the school. I studied veterinary medicine. So I was working in the poultry where I was earning money, paying my school fees and all that things, doing laundry. My brother was doing the same thing. My brother studied accounting. So we graduated without my mom being there, without my father being there. We do dirty one hand, we made money through genuine ways and all that. We came out. So the promise I'll keep on coming on. When we go to church, me and my brother with my other siblings, we keep on praying and I say, God, can you help us through? Because where we come from, it's like other people, they are doing very well, but within our own family, like a little bit bad and something like that. We don't, like my close uncles, they don't travel out, they just remain the same. Oh, but God's so good. We keep on pushing hard. We apply for visa. You know, those times where Donald Trump was a president, before this one now, he blocked everywhere. We have friends there from usually. I don't apply. Yo. They don't see me. Oh, money don't go. My brother say, Afa, this money we don't hustle like this because we started hustling after school. Then, so this money we don't hustle. Let us use it for another. So I said, bro, let's apply by faith. It will work out. Huh. We apply. Last card. We apply. Keep on. Donald Trump was still in position. He could not allow. We keep on praying. Made this man allow. We keep on checking, clicking. At a point, my brother don't lose hope. But I was still coming to church. I was still going to church. I was praying. I believed so much. I told my brother, chill. This won't work out. My brother told me, me, I for first apply you. Maybe my own for work. Or maybe now because I said, bro, chill. It will work. One day, I was walking down from the road. I saw a woman with a baby. And that woman told me, brother, can I? Sister, I said, I don't know you from anywhere, but I don't have money. The woman told me she don't have anything. Look at her baby, this and that. Out of my mind, I prayed to God. I said, God, lead me. And I felt something. I don't have enough money, but I have money in my account a little bit. I withdrew it and gave the woman. That was last card. I trekked from there to the house. Once I get to the house, my brother called me. He was in the workshop. He started barbing. We have a barbing shop. He called me, bro, Alpha, guess what? Approved. Right now, my brother is in Cleveland, USA. And my brother told me that I'll be soon be coming over. I said, the promise of God, he fulfilled it. And more is to come in. And I say, glory be to you, Almighty God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, that looks like... Okay, we'll do this and then that's all. Thank you so much.
Praise God. Okay, no nerves. When I got to school, like, there was nothing, there was no money anywhere. I could remember I came in with 40,000 naira from my savings. So I got admission into Sandwich and Lasso, and the school fees was a whole lot. It was over 100, and I was just there. So I could remember in 2019, I was in church. It was on a Tuesday. I was praying. I was like, God, how am I going to pay my school fees? 100 level to 500, and God told me that he's going to sponsor it, and I was like, okay, thank God. It was time to pay school fees. Oh yeah, God, now come and sponsor this thing. It is where, like, the struggle was a lot, but I guess it was from me not trusting God completely. I was still going out, trying my own best, and it failed, though, because I cried a lot. I was always crying. I'm like, Potter wants to close. I was saying, no, Potter wants to close again. So at last, I paid the school fees. 200 levels, same thing. There was one time in 300 level I could remember. I was like, but God, I've paid my school fees. It was on a Tuesday too. I broke down totally. I was crying. I'm like, why is the struggle this hard? Like, why is it so difficult? After God has said he's going to, like, provide, God told me that I was not relying on him completely. I was still trying to, like, provide for myself. And so I just, when I got those words, so I reassured myself that 400 level, may God welcome. So 400 level came. I was just saying, 2 weeks again, no, as usual. I'm like, okay, it is well, low. I was not bothered. That was the first time in my entire life I did not cry before paying my school fees. I was just there. So one of my friends just came and was like, Afa, you don't pay. I said, I've not paid, though, that I don't have money. She was like, no, send me your account number. She sent me the whole money the next morning. I was not expecting it. Over 100,000 naira 500 level 2 came, I was like, God, you don't run the previous one. We are around this one now. And it was just like, ah, oh gosh. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Okay, so at some point in our lives, God does make promises to every one of us. When you search the scriptures and search the Bible, you will see God's promises to you. The only issue is that people don't read the word of God. So they don't even know that God has said something concerning them. So sometimes you study the word of God and you find that this promise is looking like it's generalized. Until you catch the revelation, God's promise to you is not personalized. Everything God writes there is general. Anybody can pick it. Anybody can pick it. But the moment you catch that revelation, it dawns on you afresh that God is speaking to me. It's not general. So one time I was studying the scripture and I came across, I'd seen it over and over again. Matthew 5:40, when it says that you are the light of the world, the citizen and it cannot be hidden. And I'd known it all along. I even knew a song about it, but it didn't really dawn on me that way. But the moment it dawned on me, I knew that that's what God's promised to me. So when we say in church that I can never be small, I'm so sure. I don't know if you understand. There's this confidence that comes with knowing God's promise for you that I can never, like it's a no-go area. Because what God was telling me is that I'm just not just the light of the world. I'm the city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It's like saying that you're a skyscraper. They can't hide me. You cannot hide my type. It's not possible. So I have assurance in God's word that my light will shine and I cannot be hidden. Whatever it is, God will make sure that I shine. So there are a lot of promises God has made to us in his word. But people don't study the word of God to know exactly what God is saying to them. And sometimes, like we shared tonight, we believe the word of God. Yeah, God has said he was going to do this or do that. But there are different hindrances to what stops that fulfillment. And I'm going to share some of them tonight. There are things that stop what we are supposed to believe about God. Can we look at the book of Hebrews? Hebrews 6 from 12 to 14. Let's do TPT. It says, okay, so don't allow your heart to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm. But follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. This is about Abraham. Abraham was not just patient. Patient and endurance together is the definition of sufferhead. So Abraham was doing sufferhead. I mean, 25 whole years. You didn't wait for admission. Did not wait now. 4 years. Abraham waited 25 years. I remember there was a time I waited for admission that, I don't know how long, but I was always right, JAMB and post UTME, and I'm either the best or second best. You will see it when the result comes out, you see it, my name, best or second best. But no school chose me. I didn't know why. And I was wondering that, I suppose go school now, it's in our lineage to go to school. It's in our blood. you can go. I mean, people have done it before, so it's not anything, it's not like I'm breaking one special record. And God did not give me admission. It's God. I said to myself, I said, Satan is not that powerful to hold my admission like this. You know, Rich, like that. God again decided this matter. And so I knew that God, you are involved. It's me and you in this matter. First year, second year, third year, until they advised me to go and do last two something. And marketing. Frustration is another statement. I was frustrated. I could not even. I was excelling in the academics, but at some point I pulled out, knowing that that wasn't God's will for me. So I also wrote, and my pain was that I was excelling. Why are they not picking me? First, best, or second? Why are they not picking me? I never knew that God was planning something for me. You know, in those seasons of my life were the times that God built me the most. Those were the times I was free to serve in church. I would be cooking for my pastors on Tuesday. Usually we'll have vigils, you know, leaders' vigil. I will cook. I became a jollof rice expert. If it's my jollof rice. I became an expert because I started training. I would study God's word. That's when I started reading books. That's when I got exposed to a lot of things about healing, about faith. It was in that season God built me. I did not know that God was building me for something that, if he didn't build me at that time, if I had gone to school, I probably would have crashed. So let's go back to this scripture. It says, now when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than himself, he swore an oath on his own integrity to keep the promise as sure as God exists. Do you know what that means? God is saying, as long as I live, make I die. I die, say this promise, I don't keep him. Abraham, I will surprise you. Abraham, I'll make father of many nations. Abraham, I will do this. God said, except I die, yo, or I'm no longer God. Maybe another tenure came, another regime came. They did another election, and God is no longer God. God says, surely as I live, as long as I am God, that thing I promised you, Forget it. I'm going to do it. Let's move to the next verse. It says, so he said, have no doubt. I promise to bless you over and over and to give you a son and multiply you without measure. One of the hindrances for us receiving God's fulfillment of our promise is doubt. Doubt and fear. People are in doubt. People are in doubt. You're asking, well, it's a big question of doubt. The question is, can God, it's not a matter of can God. You know that God can. But it's now, will God? I don't know if you're forgetting me. Can God do it? Of course, we know that God can do all things. But will he do it? You know, the moment I start having that will he conversation, I know that God is not going to do it. I've been in those situations before. I'm praying for something and I can sense in my spirit I don't have the peace or the release or the ease to just say, I'm done praying. And I'm hearing that doubt in my spirit, will God? Forget it. I just know the answer already, that God is not going to do this one. So the moment you start having those conversations of, I know God can, it's not a question of can he, it's will he? Will he now do it for me? I know he does it for other people, but in this regard, will he really do it? And then the moment you are able to clarify and say, okay, God will do it. The next question is what? When? And that's the biggest challenge. That's the biggest work of faith. When? When will God do it? I don't know, but he's going to do it. If he says it, oh, he really means it. God doesn't say what he doesn't mean. God is not a joker. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, it says that God is not a man that he will lie. He's not the son of man that he will repent. As he said something, will he not do it? Now, he's saying that God is not a joker that will say, me, what did I promise you? That it's not me, oh, man, we will not have that conversation. God is not like that. He doesn't change his mind easily. He say, oh, because I have done. No, that's not how God is. Human beings lie. They can say, I did not promise, when did I promise you that? No, that's what I meant. Oh, I said this, I said that. But that's not how God is. God doesn't change. God knows they change mouth. Whatever God says he's going to do, God means it. He's not a joker. He means it. I came across this translation while I was studying. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it. And it was sounding like that song, that Omema song. Say, he really says what he really does, what he really means. What's that part? I saw it in the Bible. Oh, Camilla, I did not see the translation again. I don't search it on it. I did not see it again. Or maybe it's my eyes that saw it. But that thing jumped out. And I could connect it with that song at that moment. That God really says what he means. He doesn't joke with the things he says. So there was a time in my life, and when I had my baby girl, it was a lot. It was a lot for me in those seasons. It was a lot. And I was really trying to wonder, how did we get to this bus stop? I mean, waiting won't bring God this one. Okay, I usually have issues with devil. Okay, let me come like this. It's not pride. I don't know what to call it. Okay, it's a good pride. I boast in the Lord, all right? I usually feel sometimes that devil no reach now. How far? Like, you know, there's some things I feel like, God, you are involved. You get hand for this matter. Because I feel like, who are you? Who gave you the authority, the audacity, the temerity? Like, where did you get such boldness from to intrude? I feel like God allowed you because God is trying to do something. And we may not always understand it. We won't. When I had my baby girl and she came out lifeless, I couldn't even pray. All I was saying was, mercy. Mercy. That was all I said. I didn't even say, God, wake her up. God, revive her. Mm-mm. I didn't even have energy, self. I was just saying, without the past oxygen on me, as if I was going to die. And I was just saying, mercy. Mercy. This wasn't a time. I wasn't doubting at that moment. God can, will God be with? No. Yet, there are moments in our lives where we doubted. Where we doubted. My father was sick one time and I was doubting, will God really do this? Like, God, I would have loved my father to live to 100 years. My calculation is that we see his great-grandchildren. Because already he has a grandchild that is 21. So I've done my calculation. If my dad is 100 years old, if he marry, born child, he go work. He go see great-grandchildren. So that's my own plan. I don't know God's plan. But I was like, God, just preserve him. Just let him seize. Mama, you know, children, let that thing be fulfilled in my family. And I had doubts at those times. Like, will God really heal this man? Will he really do this for me? Because my mom had passed on and I really didn't want my dad to follow. We were so scared in those periods that my dad would just go. All we could rely on was just to trust God, even though I had my doubts. And I know that people sitting in confusion today, and you are thinking, okay, I'll settle that. Can God? God will. But when? When? This is the work of patience. The Bible speaking here says that Abraham joined patience and endurance together. You don't want to be there. May you not be there. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it is possible. And Abraham waited 1 year, 2 years, 3 years after the promise, 4, 5, 10, a decade, 2 decades and a half, 25 solid years. Yes, God fulfilled what he said. The problem is that human beings are not patient. When God gave me a word for my daughter and God assured me, like a sure word of prophecy, that see, on the other side of this whole drama, there's victory. I thought I was going to stay in the hospital for 2 days or 3 days and then I'll be out. 1 year plus, I've been on that journey. Trusting God every single step of the way, that God, what you have said concerning this girl, I will see it. And at the point I said, now woman behind never see him. Me, I don't see him. As I said, God, when will other human beings see it? Because me, I've seen what you have done. Now them no. Where will other human beings high see it? It's not a funny journey to wait, to be patient and wait in that place of prayer and say, Lord, I still believe. You told me I'm going to get married to one of your sons. I never see man will even talk to me. Where is he? But God has promised. But God has reserved somebody for your journey. May not be like another person's journey. The another issue is comparison. That's number two. Comparison. You are comparing your destiny to another person's destiny. And there are different prescriptions for our destinies. Your own is not the same thing with my own. Our journey is not the same. So we'll go through different challenges. Sometimes it's similar. Sometimes they could be different. So when we begin to compare, this one has done this. This one has happened to that one. This one. Then you begin to lose faith in God. You begin to lose faith in God. Meanwhile, God has swore to Abraham that, see, on this matter, it is settled. I am going to do it. Praise God. So the next one is, I talked about comparison. I talked about doubt. Unbelief is another one. Unbelief is when you just suddenly not believe anymore that God can do this for you. It's as simple as that. You don't believe. And then sometimes, it's the challenges of life. So, something happens and then you begin to think that this is no longer God's promise to you. And you're the one that I've been singing. What's that song people sing? It doesn't matter what comes my way, you are still God. Something have come your way now. You say God is not God anymore. If you don't give me this child, you're no longer God. If you know that you are God, prove yourself. He? God now your mate. God has nothing to prove to you. You better just organize yourself and love God and respect and honor him. He has nothing to prove. Who are you now? That God wants to prove something, prove a point to that he's God. So we sing that every time we sing that song. I was talking to someone last night. I said, every time you sing that song, when something comes your way, you go no far. You sing with all excitement, then you forget that you are making commitments. Whatever comes my way, you are still God. Intentional. Some of the challenges are intentional. Because going through those processes will stretch you. For a very long time, husband and I didn't have what to pray for together with regards to maybe God meeting a need or trusting God for something. It's always about church members, church. For a long time. So it was as if God did not give devil a chance. God did not say, let me touch him small. Let me just touch him small. And then my daughter came on board. And we had a series of times where we prayed. For the first time in how many years? That's about 7 years. My husband prayed together for something regarding our family died. We've never had to. And that season was challenging. I could have said, God, if you are in heaven, oh, God of Pastor Mavis, if you know that you are God that have called me, I all those things people say. If you don't give me a child, I will backslide. If you don't give me a wife, I will backslide. Hellfire and your mates, Abby. You are playing with eternal damnation and you think it's a joke. What is man or wife or husband that is so, I don't know that. Somebody can, because of that, want to go to hell. I don't get. There are times you say all those things, God doesn't still move. If God decides to answer you, then he's mercy. He's just, God just spawned you that, come on, by Lord, let's help her. Come. It's not because you have challenged God. Who can challenge your power? You will just roast. You can't challenge God. You can't. But there will be those moments where you are questioning your heart. You are asking God, did you really send me? Is it what you called me to do? I mean, this thing doesn't look like it's making progress the way I planned it. How long do I have to wait for this, your promise, to be fulfilled? And the thing is that God doesn't tell us the time. Because if God tells us the time or tells us the process, some of us will chicken out of it. Some of you will tell God to his face, I know, do again. Imagine God told Abraham it takes 25 years. You think he will say, oh, I'll just be waiting for him. It's a lie. Even if God tells you when he will do it, you will still not be patient. You will still be feeling like, when God told me I was going to marry Pastor Mavis, after I laughed and all of those things, and I had conversations with him, and sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, now make you come talk now. He never even see me. You don't get. When God told me I was going to get married to him, my son has not seen me as a marriable somebody. He just saw me as one of my daughters. He has not seen me in that light. So sometimes I'll be like, God, nah. Sometimes I'll be like, no, I don't want to. Let him not come yet. I'm not ready, all of those things. But in as much as God promised that was promised to me, there were times I was really still waiting. So God never tells you the entire process. God doesn't tell you what you go through. If he tells you, you can run away. Imagine that God told Joseph and said, Joseph, you go to the prison. He will not do. He's like, I'm not doing it again. Just keep your purpose to yourself. Look for somebody else. Let me just survive in this life. It's okay not to fulfill purpose. Make a shall enter heaven. It's okay. Nothing else. But God didn't tell you. God told him about the promise. He had a dream that his brothers bowed down before him. That was showing rulership. That would be in leadership. And, people will serve him. God didn't tell him that would be sold into slavery. God didn't tell him that he will go to prison. Even though he's innocent. So sometimes some things happen to you and you ask him, but I'm innocent. My hands are clean. God didn't tell Joseph. God didn't tell him any of those things. But Joseph knew that God has a promise for me. And I will rule one day. He might not have known the nation. He might not have known where or how. But he was sure that God will come through. So God doesn't always tell us the entire process. But why do we have to go through these things? Why do you have to wait? Why can't just draw God's with sharp now and that's it? If God does like that all the time, you will think it's by your power. I'm telling you the truth. You will put God aside. The Western world now, that's what they are doing. Why do you have to pray for healing when you can go to the hospital and it's free? I'm going to copy it here. The first thing, before you have headache, you say you are healed in the name of Jesus. Now if you have headache, have you taken something? That's the first thing I'm asking you, because why are you bothering God to heal your headache when paracetamol can do it? That's how I begin to take God out of the equation. Before you know it, why do you have to trust God for prosperity when you can walk and earn money at the end of the month? You're joking. So if God answers us as at when due, according to our own plan, very soon we put God out of our lives, thinking that somehow by my power I achieved this. Maybe it's God that woke me up, sha. But at least it's me that carry myself to my work. If I did not go to work, will I get money? It's me that crossed the road by myself. Some people did not even cross. If I just standing beside, and that was the last. So if God decides that, he will tell you everything your life is going to be about. Every single thing, what is going to happen to you, your journey, your challenges, your struggles, whatever. Some people are going to back out on God. Some people are going to back out on God. Let me show something in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let's do TPT. Okay, it says, okay, let's do King James first, and I'll go with TPT. So that the people that are old school people, they understand the message of the Lord. He said, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. TPT, this grammar now, you see it in the oligophied way. It says, we all experience times of testing. Tell your neighbor you'll be tested, whether or not you like it. Tell them again, your own test will come. Oh. May God give you grace to pass. Amen. So it says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. Sure, you see. Not be your own too much. It's normal. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen, I want to follow carefully with this. He said, he will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. When I came across the scripture, I think 2 weeks ago, I was mad. I said, hi, Bible is sweet. Why people know they read Bible? Bible is delicious. Allow me. The Bible is loaded with God's word. Look at it. It says, that means you're not the only one going through stuff. Have you heard other people's own? You just put your problem on side. Say, brother, let us pray for your own problem, because bless your own past my own. He said that God will not allow you to go, whatever you are going through, God is saying to you that I know you can bear it. I don't know if you get that point. I know that you can bear it. He says God will screen and filter. That means he will not just say, this wala, come to this person, gwa. This challenge, come to this person, gwa. No, God will filter it and say, this one, he's going to break her. This guy is going to go dead. And God just picks another wahala. She said challenge. Okay, challenge sounds another wahala. God will just pick it. And God says, this one can bear it. So God will sever, God will filter it. You know they filter things? Like gari or flour when you want to bake. The way you do it on that sieve and filter, just so that the lumps will be easily dissolved. Or want to separate good from bad or something, stone from something. God filters it. God goes that extra mile to ensure that what comes to you, you can bear it. You are the one that don't know. When you come out of that challenge, I guarantee you become stronger. My daughter's situation stretched us. It stretched me so much. I didn't want to hear any negative comment around me. That's how much. No, if you talk any negative thing around me, I feel fight you. Don't, it's faith alone. Faith. Faith. If it's not faith, don't say anything. If you don't have any, that's for your advice. Don't advise me. Just leave me the way I am, me and my God. Because this thing, God knows I can carry it. God said to me at the hospital, God said to me and said, on the other side of this, God said that there is victory at the end, but you will go through this process. I knew that God knew that I can carry this. I did not know. I didn't know. I didn't know that I can go through this and come out strong. I didn't know I could go through this. And I now saw God in a different light. And I now saw the faithfulness of God and how wonderful God is. And now every single diagnosis by the doctor, from hydrocephaly to severe, to jaundice, to hypertonia, people don't know, may you not know it in Jesus' name. With all of those things, one after the other, before our very eyes, cancelled. And I could really see the faithfulness of God because I was tested. Because I went through some season of my life where God said, go through this. You will not understand. But God's go through this. Someday, you'll know why I allow you to go through that. Praise God. He says, and each test is an opportunity to trust him more. Oh, labor shatter. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. It's an opportunity to trust him more. So why is God testing you? So that you can trust him. Human beings who do. If they leave only us like this, we'll be doing more than ourselves. God said, why am I giving this test? So that you can trust me more. You will see that you are weak and frail. I can't do anything by yourself. But you will not rely on God and say, at this point, nobody can help me except God. He said, for along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. Praise God. So that's just to show to us that when we go through those seasons, God knows that I can bear this. Oh, my mother died when I was not expecting it. My father died this one. Some people turned their back and start backsliding. My mother was serving God. My father was serving God. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God not allow that to happen? God is saying, for all of this to happen, I have filtered it. I've weighed the consequences. I've weighed everything. I said that you can carry this. You can go through this. And some people, that's what challenged them to prosperity. than that life brother shared. Maybe if his mom was alive, maybe we would even be poorer. Because he will not be challenged. Mom will give him food. Mom will give him. But when he see, when life happened, he said it happened to life. Praise God. So God is not a joker. God is not a joker. God is not a joker. Whatever he says, he means it. So let me go to what should I do in my waiting season? What should I now do when I'm waiting? Not knowing how long it will take, because we'll never really know. That promise may take 1 year, it may take 2 years, it may take 3 years, it may take 10 years, 15 years, 25 years like Abraham. But I guarantee you, it's a sure word that God will fulfill his promise. God will. I've seen God do it over and again. I've seen God doing it over and again. When I was going to have a baby, the devil told me, oh, because I had a bad experience the other time, the devil told me it's going to happen again. And I remember going to God and saying, I'm not really ready for this. I'm not sure I can this time around. And God gave me another word. And for every word that God gives you, it is in the Bible. I will show us. Anything God tells you, he may not tell you clearly like, thus says the Lord, I will be with you until the uttermost part of the earth. It may not sound like that. You can just say, I got you. Or somebody don't know that God used to speak pidgin. Forget. You can just say, I got you. Go and check the Bible. You will say, I got you, dear. I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't it, I got you? Now you define King James. Praise God. I was like, God, I'm not really sure. And God said to me, there will be no surprises. That was the only thing I heard. I didn't open Bible. I said, that's enough. It's God's voice. It's enough. I don't need any confirmation from the word. It's enough. God told me that would be. The devil came again and told me. So one time my mom-in-law was like, this is a belly small low. I told myself, my sister is small low. I go to scan. Whether I be there, but don't talk, say one show himself again. You know, that's how I felt. So I went to do a scan. A doctor said, there's nothing wrong. You're just going to have a smaller baby. Nothing is wrong. It's not like maybe 5 point something. It's just going to come out small and portable. And I added on to that word that there will be no surprises. I kept decreeing it. That's only it. I never say Bible chapter 1, verse 14 and 16. No. There will be no, it's enough. God's voice is enough. There will be no surprises. That means, because when I had my girl, it was a shocker. I don't know if you get. That was a big surprise. So for me, that there will be no surprises. His affliction will not arise a second time. Konutu Shele, lie. And I had my baby, truly. There was no surprise. Everything normal, fastest ever. I remember posting I think a day later, I was just sending messages into people's DM and sharing my testimony. Somebody reached out to me and said she has been living in fear of the child that she's carrying, that she probably will die, something will happen to her. They will not. She has been living in that fear. She's even doubting God's promise. And God has told her that nothing will happen, but she's doubting. But when she saw my message and I put there, I said, God delivered as he promised. She said that was a word for her. As I speak to you, she has put to bed. She's alive, her baby is alive. So God used my own situation to encourage somebody else. Some of what you're going through now is a book you write that will be the bestseller, that will land you into money that you have not dreamed of. You don't know. That thing you are going through now, or that you have gone through, is that thing that will make you a sought-after speaker. Because people want to hear your story of how God changed you from being a sinner boy or a sinner girl to this righteous person with all the things you've done. Wow. Praise God. So what should I do in my waiting period? One of the things you should do is to search the scriptures for a reference promise and study the journey and attitude. I'll say that again. Search the scripture for a reference to that promise. Like I said, God said to me, there will be no surprises. For me, that was, affliction will not arise a second time. So what do you do? Study and watch that person's life. God has made a promise to you. Go to the life of Abraham, to the life of Joseph, go to people like that and study and see what was their attitude like while they were waiting for the fulfillment of this promise. God has told you that, you're a global voice. In you, have put healing in your music. And you're still singing off-key. Why didn't everyone accept you? Why I said, I beg, just go, maybe Sanctuary, go somewhere else. Don't come. They've never accepted you. They don't know that in that cracked voice, he's healing. Oh, I don't know if people are getting me. It's not by it's not like that. There's some voices we hear. Say, this guy no get voice now, but he carries something. He's loaded. God has showed you some things, and it's not looking like it, but you don't even know when it will come to pass. It will come to pass. So go into the scripture and search. This is what God has told me. Who went through this in the Bible? Who has a similar case in the Bible? Sometimes it can just be a line, no? It may not be an entire story. But if it's an entire story, go ahead and study their life and their attitude while they were waiting. Another thing I didn't mention, but I think it's important to mention, hindrances to getting God's promise for you. He's wanting to help God. Don't help God. Don't give God shortcut alternative. It's you that need God's help. God doesn't need your help to do anything. So don't try to help him. Maybe Sarah thought that, maybe God's woman said, we have a child. He did not say this one or that one. A child is a child. Let my husband shall have a child. Let me just see if I can help God. This thing is his promise since he's delaying. God is not in a hurry, but he's always on time. He does not hurry. It's you that is looking for hurry. When he says, when I call upon the name of the Lord, no, that doesn't lie. God is strolling. He just appear at the time he wants to appear. Say, how far? I'm here. Every devil. Oh yeah, a butter. That's how God does. He won't just come running. Okay, imagine that God is running every. God will be panting. I'm just trying to imagine. No, run here. Run here. 500 of us are calling him at the same time. But God will answer. He's not in a hurry. The Bible says that the righteous does not make haste. And God is our example. God does not make haste, but he will be right on time. When you need him, but not appreciating the timing. So God will come at the time he deems fit. That this is the time for me to come. But we often don't appreciate because we think that God came late. We think that God could have come earlier. I'm going somewhere. Meditate on his testimonies, then pray. I was taught a message one time, and I think when we moved back, I don't remember the title, but I think it sounds something like seasons. And perhaps I was saying in that message that there's a thin line between process and delay. Why are you trying to wait? Why are you trying to be patient? Why are you trying to have endurance? Sometimes it's a delay. So if you sense that it's a delay, you're not even sure whether it's a delay, I mean it's just a process. Pray. Pray. Prayer will do a lot for you. Then Psalm 103, verse 2 recounts God's faithfulness. Don't forget all his benefits. Say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who redeemed you from sin? Who does this? Who does that? And other things he was saying. So, in those seasons of waiting, we count God's faithfulness. The issue with human beings is that we focus too much on what God has not done. How about the one God has done? How can we do? We say, oh, can we lift up our hands, our holy hands, and give thanks unto God for the things he has not done? Some people wonder, which side be down again? Some people have wondered that maybe it's a slip of tongue. It's not a slip of tongue. Can you thank for the things he has not done? Because sometimes if God shows you what that done would have done to you, you'd have been undone. God is wonderful in his wisdom. You can't box God. You can't entirely explain that this is how God is going to work or this is how he's going to. We count his faithfulness. How about the things God has done? No, you can't see God's faithfulness helps your faith because you remember that there was a time I could not pay my house rent now and I was waiting, hey God, now what is house rent? You now remember that that was no longer a trouble to me because God has now blessed me with a business that cannot pay a parent. You now remember again that there was a time I was struggling to eat. I was always eating from hand to mouth. Now look at me, I'm giving other people. You remember again that season has passed. So when you count God's faithfulness, it's reminded that God can do this. So this one is not a bigger issue. It's not so much of a problem. God can do it, will do it at the time it is fit. That sometimes, yes, we go into fastings, we go into prayers. I want to call God down. Some people think that fasting and prayer is a way to bribe God. Now you're the help, oh. Fasting and prayer is not to bribe God, oh. So that if I fast 21 days, God will answer me. Not yet. We did not teach you that. Fasting and prayer doesn't hasten the hand of God. Fasting and prayer doesn't hasten the hand of God. It's not a bribe to God and say, I've consecrated myself. No eating, no drinking. White fast, blue fast, red fast. Dry one. And God will now be running to you.
I'll keep running
to you. God is not doing that. It is you that fasting and prayer helps. It helps your faith. It helps you to stay consecrated. You know that when you are fasting, you are more conscious that I don't be sinner more than when you are not fasting. I don't know if you understand what I mean. You just have this, how to say, only disposition. You don't want to, for people that are still struggling with maybe some, they are still on a level, they don't want to lie that day. They're a little more conscious. They don't want to steal. They don't want to, I fast. I don't want to talk what I'm supposed to talk. You are a little more conscious. It's you, it helps. Because in fasting and prayer, you are encouraged to study God's word. So in studying God's word, the way revelation comes to you is different in other days because you have abandoned feeding your flesh and you are feeding the spirit. So it is your own faith that it helps. Praise God. Another thing to do is to soak up on spiritual songs. Soak up on spiritual songs. There's a way songs help to lighten your burden. You don't really even need to know how to sing. You can play songs, spiritual songs. And that's why we even need more spiritual writers. Because when people go through stuff in life, somebody's song can come alive. Like Rema. It just, you know, there was a season in my life I was going through. How many years ago? I don't remember how many years ago now. And it was a phase of my life. And it seemed like everything was falling apart. Everything wasn't falling apart, but that's how I pictured it. Everything was falling apart. And I had heard this song at that time. What's that song again? Christ is my firm foundation. We'll do the song shortly. And the song had never made so much meaning to me. That part that says, joy in chaos. Until life happened. And I soaked in that song. That song became real to me. Can we do that song, choir? Christ is my firm foundation. Just be seated where you are. I can pray in the Holy Ghost. This is a moment to connect. This is a moment God is speaking to someone. And God is reminding somebody of his promise.
He's the rock on which I stand when everything around me shakes.
I thought I was going to lose everything in that season.
I'm never being more glad.
It was a tough time
that I put my faith.
But it's for my strength.
Jesus.
I didn't even find strength even in the word of God directly.
He never.
But this song was it for me. This song was a strength. Where I was where I drew from. And I knew it wasn't the word of God. So God will not fail me. Kaya.
So I would hear.
Thank you for giving your word. Forget it. on this matter, I'm not going under. Never. God was the one holding me. God was the one holding me in that situation, in that challenge, through that part of your life where you're asking God, when? Eh? When? I know I'm waiting, but you know people are asking questions. People are asking questions. And I'm saying, God, when will you really do this? And everything seem chaotic and, well, nothing is working, but I still got joy. Because it's not about me. It's about joy that I have, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not joy that I got because I'm happy about something. No, it's joy I have from the inside, from the Holy Ghost. This is not joy you get from situations. No. But it's about God speaking to somebody's heart tonight and saying, I got you. I don't know what that word is for. God is not asking me to do King James. But God is speaking to someone. God says, I don't know, but God says, I got you. That's what God is saying. I got you. Praise God. Can we do that song again? I feel like in my spirit. Can we just pray in the Holy Ghost as I'm doing this song?
Christ is my friend.
More solemnly. If God has given you a word, it's a good time to connect. I wanted to move to something else, but I'm happy they need to do this song again. It's a good time to remind God that help my unbelief. If you are finding it difficult to believe anymore, you feel like God has taken too long, just say, help my unbelief. Somebody said that in time, say, I believe. Oh, what said, do you believe that I can say? I believe that you can hear me, but just help my unbelief. It's not that I don't believe, but just help me. Help my unbelief. Can somebody say that to God tonight? Say that's your case. The Lord, help my unbelief. I know you can do this thing. I know you will do it. God, I'm in between. Will you do it for me? Why will God fail now? He has not failed before. Why is it your own case? God wants to fail. No. I'll move to the benefits. The good thing, though, is that walking this phase of trusting God stretches you. And in the end, you have more confidence in God. He stretches you and you have more confidence in God. Your faith is better built. Then you have a testimony to encourage others. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Let's quickly see that. The benefit of trusting in this season is that you have peace and assurance. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let's do NLT. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You are not the promiser. Why do you want to try to fulfill God's promise for you by yourself? It says, don't worry about anything. Worry takes away your peace. Do you know how worry works? Worry makes you worry about probably what will not happen, what has not happened, what may never happen, or what you cannot change. But peace and assurance gives you an assurance that God will settle this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank Him for all He has done. Another one is hope and encouragement. Can we look at Romans 15:13? NLT is also fine. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you see what happened to me? There was through the power of the Holy Spirit, I was able to flow that way. It was not by my own strength. It was because I fell back on God's word. Lastly on that, you allow God to plan your life. Jeremiah 29:11. Allow God to plan your life. Tell somebody, allow God to plan your life. Do you know that you don't love yourself more than God loves you? You don't love yourself more than God loves you more than you love yourself. So when you think that God is not yet doing the thing you want Him to do, at the time you want Him to do what you want Him to do, God still loves you more than you love yourself, because you can't really help yourself. God always has a better plan for your life than you. Always. If you bring your plan and bring your plan is not reach anything in the plan of God. You can't. What plan do you have for yourself? I want to travel around the world. That one is small now. If you see the plans that God has for you, your plan can be compared. Why not just allow God plan your life for you? Why do you want to stress? You are a creation, and then the creator, the manufacturer of you as a product, he's telling you that he has plans for you. You as a product, say yourself, you get plan. Whose plan is more planner? It's God now. But you allow God plan your life for you. It's the sweetest. Let me share this and we'll still read this. So when I was trying to get admission into those schools and writing exams, jams, and postuitium and all, I was putting in for law. Law did not agree to take me. And one day, I heard God say to me, study mass communication. You will need it in ministry. I can never forget. Study mass communication. You will need it in ministry. And I'm asking myself, okay, I don't understand what this is, but no problem, I'll just switch. I don't know why it wasn't, I didn't make a fuss about it. And I didn't ask so much questions. I just said, okay, I know this is God's voice. And I switched. It doesn't mean that I still got it earlier. I still waited though. And I sure got it. I did not know I was going to get married to a pastor. I did not know I was going to be editing books. I did not know that I would be doing radio presenting. I did not know any of those things at all. I just know that God told me, study mass communication. You will need it in ministry. By God's grace, there's no book of PM that goes out that doesn't pass through me. No matter the editor you are, my husband believes that book should pass through me. I did not know that what God was saying to me is in ministry. I did not know the meaning. And I didn't have to know. What I needed was, since God wants to plan my life for me, I have a plan for myself. I want to be a lawyer. The plan is like, it's not working. Somebody has to have another plan for you. Maybe I should follow that plan. And that's how I followed that plan. It's not the first thing God is asking me to do. A lot of other things like that. When God plans your life for you, be rest assured that it's the best. Look at what the Bible says. It says, God says, for I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for Gina. I don't know if it's there my name. It's okay to call my name. I know the plans I have for Gina. Says the Lord, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Can we do TPT and message? Can we try those ones? I want to see how they say it. TPT and message. Okay. Message says, I know what I am doing. Now you don't know. I know. Look. I like the Bible. I've told you, try other translations. You see this King James Christian that I feel like you are so holy reading King James. Shine thy eyes. See, it's God says, I know what I'm doing. All these things that is happening, you know, I'm waiting my promise. God says, I know what I am doing. I have it all planned out. You don't get. God has a plan from before you are formed in your mother's womb. God already had a plan. So these things you are doing now, I will not serve God. I will backslide. Oh, God has not answered me. I will come back tomorrow. I'll be on fire today. Tomorrow I'll be on water. Mm-mm. God says, see, I have it all planned out. Everything that has to do with your life. All planned out. Just allow me to do what I want to do. If you can allow me, your life will turn out very beautiful. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you. Child. Not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. So the future that God even wants to give to you, is it part of the good things you're hoping for in the future? But God has a better plan. Can we try TPT now? I think I like message actually, but let's do TPT. Let me see what TPT says. Okay, not TPT of that. All right, okay, that's fine. I can't get it here. All right, so God has great plans for you. Very great plans. You might be stuck somewhere now, and it's not really God's plan for you, but you don't know how to go about it. But God is saying, I can still give you another chance. I have great plans for you. Very beautiful plans. You might be with a guy and you are stuck in that relationship and he's beating you, maltreating you, and you think that you want to die there. God is saying to you that I have great plans for you. Plans to take care of you. Wouldn't you want God to take care of you? I want God to take care of me. That's enough pampering. That's enough soft life. Some madness go there anyway, but it's okay. That's enough. If God has it all planned out, I think I'm cool with that. So God is saying to somebody that I have it all planned out. Maybe in a terrible relationship, you don't know how to live. Get it, I told you, if you leave, you'll not find any other man like me that loves you. I'm the only one that loves you in this life. If you go, no man will see you. God has great plans for you. If you can come out and allow God tell you that he knows what he's doing. You are going through challenges, storms of life in this beautiful economy. It's not just in this country, around the world. The economy is beautiful. But the economy is wonderful. Wonderful. And you are feeling the heat. And the things that seem very easy. You know, people that just put to bed now, you tell them that milk is 10,000. They don't know, you know, paying them, but pay me. Because me, I don't first born. I don't know they buy milk like maybe 5K. You know, milk is, I said, what happened? But them, it's their first. They're happy, you know. And I'm feeling like, you're not supposed to wish like that. So in this beautiful economy, God is saying, I know what I'm doing. It can be hard for other people, but for my children, I've got great plans for them. Very great plans. There are people in this economy that the things that they could never afford when things were cheap, they can afford it now. I'm one of them. Glory to God. It was a testimony. He had. He's tipping, he's not tipping. In this economy, some people are doing the things that they could not do when things were cheap. I don't know if you get it. The economy of the world will not get better. But for God's children, God knows what he's doing. And he has it all planned out. Can we rise to our feet as we take the last point for tonight? I want us to pray. Because sometimes it might not be easy to tell the difference between I'm going through my process, I'm being patient, and when devil don't choke on inside and say this one, you will not be fulfilled by your life. Sometimes you cannot tell. So at a point in time when we're waiting for the physical eyes of people to see the miracle in the life of our daughter, I was also in that shoe at some point. I was like, because I was so patient. And I would say, God has promised me. Go to the hospital now. Check this and say, hey, God has promised me. My help is not in the hospital. Not that I suppose I cannot help you. But that's not what God is saying to me. My help is not in the hand of doctor. No. God has promised me. I want to be. So there was a time I felt like, am I being too patient? I've been there, don't choke hand again. Maybe this process is becoming elongated. So we're going to pray tonight because sometimes you can't really tell. I wish I can get the link to that message. Maybe if you can help me. That message. I want to pray in pidgin and it sounds weird. If devil, however the Holy Ghost interprets it, you just allow me. If devil have shook hand inside my matter, if devil have shook hand inside my matter and say that God's promise of my life will not be fulfilled, today I come out his hand. It's sounding funny. We begin to pray. You better start praying. I'm not saying it another way. Now, because sometimes that thin line is so thin that we are not really even knowing which one. But in case the enemy is taking advantage of my patience and my endurance, of my relying on God's promise and saying I will wait, and he has tried to mess with things beyond or more than he should, and decreeing this night that it has come to an end. It has come to an end in the name of Jesus. It has come to an end. To every word that the enemy is trying to manipulate your season, trying to make you wait more than necessary, I decree in the name of Jesus that tonight marks an end in the name of Jesus. Mako shapala kambaria. Hello, brother. Kevela muna shata da 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 da. Eko baba baba ya kalaba da 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 da. Leka sopra teleko shaka da 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 da. Eka baba da 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 mana separate te 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 te. Over your business, that promise over your career, that promise over your family, over your marriage, over your relationship, over your health, or the health of your loved ones. That really you are trusting that God will do, because God told you I will heal your mother, or he told you I will heal your father, but it looks like it's taking longer than necessary. Akaramana shata, ibre nimo sapara. Tonight, I put a stop to it. May the mercy of the Lord prevail over that situation. My hands have been too relaxed, thinking I'm still in my process, not knowing that it's a delay. I decree tonight that every delay is cut short now, in the name of Jesus. Well, as we pray in the Holy Ghost, if you are here in tonight's meeting and you have no relationship with Jesus, Jesus gives the promise of eternal life. And he says to tell you that is a promise to you. If you can come to him tonight, you have the promise of eternal life. If you are here tonight and you have no relationship with Jesus, online, on site, I'd like you to lift your hand. If you are online, you can signify. Lift your hand and say, I want to start a relationship with Jesus today. You have the promise of eternal life. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. That means that you'll be free from eternal damnation. Kalama Shata. Thank you, Jesus. You can raise your hands tonight if you're here. Alama Shetele Banda da 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 da. Do you have anyone like that? I want to know before I go out with a prayer. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to surrender and say, Lord, here I am. I want to start something new with you. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing sons and daughters to you tonight. Thank you for your promise over our lives. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.